بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected honorable علماء الكرام، beloved students of deen. Once Hazrat Mona Yusuf Motala Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, principal of Darul Ulum Bari, Khalifa of the Sheikh al Hadith Mona Muhammad Zakaria Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, in one bayan of his, he mentioned that among the very important works of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was yatlu alayhim ayati, to teach the tilawat of the Qur'an Kareem. So one is the ma'ani of the Qur'an and one is the tilawat of the Qur'an. And he says it was part of the work of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach the tilawat of the Qur'an Kareem. And in this here he says that the tilawat of the Qur'an Kareem, if you look in this day and age, then you'll find that the primary maktab is fulfilling this zimmedari and this responsibility of nubuwat, where in the maktab they teach the children how to recite the Qur'an Kareem. In every maktab you'll find that one of the most important subjects that is taught in a maktab is the tilawat and the recitation of the Qur'an. And this important duty and responsibility of nubuwat is being fulfilled by the makatib. And then he gives one incident and he explains that during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the people had accepted Islam, then among the first things that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done in Makkah Mukarramah was the establishing of makatib. And you see, we all read in the Fazail Amal the incident and the story of how Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became a Muslim. On that occasion when he woke up in the morning with the sinister intention of killing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can't imagine a guna worse than this, a sin worse than killing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But on that day, as he was going towards Dari Arqam where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, then a sahabi by the name of Nu'aym ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu explained to him that you're going to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but your sister, she's already accepted Islam, you're not doing nothing about her. So when he came to that house, there was something that was happening in the house at that time. There was dars of Quran taking place, they were learning the Quran Kareem. Husband and wife, Hazrat Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu is from the Ashara Mubashara, and his wife, Hazrat Fatima bint Khattab radiallahu anha, the sister of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, they learning the Quran Kareem by Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arak radiallahu ta'ala. Khabbab radiallahu anhu is the ustad, and the students are Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, and Hazrat Sa'id ibn Zayd, two students, one ustad, and they learning the tilawat of the Quran Kareem. Hazrat Maulana explains, he says, this then became the means and the reason for the acceptance of Islam of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. When after he beat his sister and him up, and he came back and he asked, what shall we be reciting? And when the Quran was recited before him and he started cheering and he says, no, now this prompts me to go and become a Muslim. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala who came out and he says, Umar, good news for you. But last night Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for you. He made dua for your hidayat. And this is the result of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On this one point here, Hazrat Maulana explains, and he says that whatever good we do in our lives, we must not forget that it's because of the du'as of someone. It's because of the du'as of our parents, the du'as of our ustad, the du'as of our mashayikh. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who could not be proud about his acceptance of Islam, because it was on account of the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the night before. Jigar Muradabadi rahmatullah alayh, in one very famous poetry of his, he says, Teri talab bhi kisi ka karam ka sadaqa hai. Teri talab bhi kisi ka karam ka sadaqa hai. Ye qadam khud uthte nahi uthaya jata hai. This talab also to do good, to do good deeds, to become an alim, to become a hafiz, to recite Quran, to make zikrullah, to go out in the path of Allah. This is not on our own account, it's because of somebody's du'as. And in all probability, it's the du'as of our parents, our grandparents, our ustads, our mashayikh. And that is what prompts us and pushes us. And that is what takes us to where we are. So that we must never ever forget in our lives, that whoever we are today is on account of the du'as of our elders. So Hazrat Maulana explains, Ma'ayishu Mutala Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, he explains and he says that Umar radiallahu ta'ala who then went and he accepted Islam. And this was on account he was a product of the first maktab that was established in the history of Islam, that maktab that was established in the house of Hazrat Fatima bint Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anha. When you look in South Africa and look at the history of South Africa and the history of the maktabs in South Africa, and it's so amazing to note that around 1780, there was an Indonesian prince by the name of Imam Abdullah ibn al-Qazi, who was arrested by the Dutch government because of him standing up against them in Indonesia. He was arrested and he was brought here to South Africa and he was incarcerated in Robben Island. Just like Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh, when he stood up against the British government in India, he was arrested by the British government and he was incarcerated in the islands of Malta. This Imam Abdullah ibn al-Qazi, who was a Sayyid and he was a prince, he was arrested and he was taken to Robben Island. He spent 13 years in jail. He spent 13 years in jail in Robben Island. And in the time that he was there in Robben Island, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him. He had written many copies of the Quran al-Karim from memory while he was in jail. And there was a kitab that he wrote, Ma'arifatul Imani wal-Islami, a book on fiqh and aqaid. A book on fiqh and aqaid which became the basis of our maktab aqaid and fiqh kitabs that are taught nowadays in the maktabs. So while he was there in jail for 13 years, he spent time, he worked with the prisoners in jail, and in the year 1793 when he was released, and he came back to Cape Town, in a place called Dorf Street in the Boer Kaap area. He established a maktab in a warehouse. And this became the very first maktab in the history of South Africa. The first maktab that was established in a warehouse. And in this maktab, he started teaching children and adults. So children would come, adults would come, the basics of deen was imparted to them. And after 1 year when the government changed and they gave permission for the building of the masjid, he wasted no time in establishing the first masjid in Islam, in South Africa, the first masjid in South Africa, which became known as Awwal Masjid. It became known as Awwal Masjid up till today. That masjid is still there, but this was the history of the maktabs in South Africa and how it started. This was in the Cape region. When you look in the Natal and Transvaal region, then again here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our forefathers, that when they came to South Africa, and they settled down here about 150 years ago. Their first fikr, there are three fikrs on their mind. Maktab, Masjid, Qabristan. Maktab, Masjid, Qabristan. Wherever they went, they made sure that these are the basic needs of Muslims. They have to congregate for our namaz. We have to teach our children deen. And when somebody passes away, we have to bury him in a Muslim graveyard. And that is why you walk through the entire length and breadth of Natal and Transvaal. You'll find in every dorpi, in every town, you must find a maktab, a masjid and a qabristan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. This was the vision. But this then became the foundation of Islam in our country. Today, whatever structures of deen we see in the form of Darul Looms, in the form of madrasas, hizb classes, jamiat, and Darul Iftas, and whatever other structures of deen we see today, it was built on the foundation of the little maktab work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has send down his special rahmat and mercy on this little maktab work. Where we see these children, they're going to madrasa every day with their juzdans in their hand, wearing their topis and their kurtas, wearing their burqas and their cloaks, with their Quran Sharif in their hand, sometimes with a popsicle in their hand also, and they're walking to the madrasa. But this is a means of great rahmat and mercy descending on the entire community. It is mentioned in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a child, when a student, he goes out to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as he walks, the malaika, out of respect for him, they spread their wings under his feet. Out of respect and izzat for this, that this is a student of deen, a student who is coming to learn the Quran al-Kareem. And this becomes a means of rahmat and mercy for the entire congregation. It is mentioned in the hadith sharif that the birds in the sky and the fish in the ocean all make dua for these little children when they come into the madrasa. So this maktab is good for these children and is good for our entire community. In one hadith in Sunan Ad-Darimi, it is mentioned that the little children who go out of their homes and they come to learn the Quran al-Kareem, they come to learn deen. This becomes a means of warding off the azab and the punishment of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's azab and punishment is warded off from that community where children come out of their homes to learn the Quran al-Kareem. I remember a few years ago when we went through this whole COVID period, Hazrat Maulana Shabir Saluji Sahib Damat Barakatum of Darul Zakaria, Hazrat Maulana was very concerned during that first lockdown. During that first lockdown, when everything was shut down, nobody was allowed to come out of their homes and come out of their houses. Some ulama from Lens, they mentioned to me personally that Hazrat Maulana was phoning all the ulama. He said, I'm very, very worried and concerned. 5,000 children in Lens every day go to Maktab and learn Quran. They're reading Quran. All this has come to a sudden stop. What's going to happen to our community? I fear Allah's azab mustn't descend upon us. Do something. Call the children from the neighborhood and let some Quran be recited in this town. At least, inshallah, this will be a means of warding off the azab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this became a fikr thereafter. And from around, ulama started calling the children. At least some form of maktab was established. And this then became a means, alhamdulillah, of the work of deen continuing even in that lockdown. This is so important that the children come and they sit at the feet of their ustad and they learn. Nowadays, very common thing has become an online maktab. Online maktab. Person who does an online maktab is offline. Person who does an online maktab is offline. You can't learn deen online. The deen that we learn is when we come and sit in the sohbat of our ustad. What we benefit the most from, syllabuses, there's enough syllabuses. Kitabs, there's enough kitabs. The person can get any kitab he wants. But what he benefits is coming and sitting at the feet of his ustad. And the sohbat of his ustad is what benefits him. And this is where what takes him to the height that he reaches. It's because of that sohbat of his ustad that he comes. So during this COVID time when all the maktabs had come to a closure, and there was we had seen ourselves one graph I saw. I saw one graph. And it's so strange to notice that when it was peaking and a lot of people were passing away during that period, that exactly if you look at that graph and you look at the maktab holidays, the time when the maktabs were closed, that graph was peaking at the time when the maktabs were all closed. When the maktabs opened, that thing dropped. Then they had a second lockdown, that thing peaked again when the maktabs closed. The moment the maktabs opened again that thing dropped. So this is a proof to show how much of rahmat and mercy Allah Ta'ala descends on the area just on account of these little children coming to the madrasa. Especially for our young ulama qualifying today. This is so important for us to understand the importance of the maktab and how we can make some fikr and concern when we go back to our countries of establishing these little madrasas and these little maktabs wherever we go. Haji Abdul Samad Chauhan sahab, who is so very involved in the Jamaat work from Spingo Beach, he was telling us that in South America, we are in South Africa, in South America, that's our neighboring continent, it is many, many years ago when the Jamaat were going there, they found that intidad is so high in these countries. Yet, the Muslims had come from different countries like Lebanon, Palestine, Syria, etc. And they had come and settled down here in South America. But intidad is so high. And he says when we looked into the reason for this, the reason was this maktab system doesn't exist in South America. Now, alhamdulillah, ulama are going and establishing it, Allah's fazl and Allah's karam, that the work is now taking place. But see, in those days, the people who came and settled down, they didn't have this vision that our forefathers had when they came to this country to establish the maktab system. And as a result, the irtidad rate is so great in this country. About 10 or 12 years ago, we had the good fortune of visiting Masjid al-Aqsa with Hazrat Mufti Sahib Damat Barakatum, our ustad. We had the good fortune of going to Masjid al-Aqsa. And in Masjid al-Aqsa, we met the Imam of the Haram, Imam Ali Abbasi, Damat Barakatuhum. So while speaking and having a discussion with him, he had one concern and he's saying, you know, I've got this one fikr, South Africans, can't you teach us this maktab system? Teach us how to establish this maktab system in our country. We are Arabic speaking, but our children can't read Quran. Our children can't read Quran. They go to school, they are growing up, but they don't know how to recite the Quran al-Kareem. So this surprised me quite a bit. I couldn't seem to understand this. How is it that a child is Arabic speaking but he can't recite the Quran al-Kareem? So he mentioned, Sheikh Ali Abbasi mentioned, he said, no, it's like how you can speak Gujarati, but can you read Gujarati? You can't read Gujarati. You can speak Gujarati, but you can't read it. Similarly, the children, they speak Arabic. But in the failure of having this maktab system, they grow up without being able to recite the Quran al-Kareem. My respected elders and brothers, ulama-i-kiram, young students of deen, the importance of us understanding how important this maktab work is. And in our countries, wherever we're going, inshallah, to just make this niyat and intention that we'll try and support the maktab system. We'll try and establish maktabs wherever we can. What we have to understand also is what's happening in the schools. What's happening in the schools and what's being taught in the schools. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatum, Allah Ta'ala reward Hazrat Maulana. Hazrat Maulana all the time he's got this fikr and this concern. And Maulana speaks about it, and sometimes people take it wrongly that Maulana is against education. But it's not this, it's a fikr for the iman of our children. It's a fikr for the iman of our children. What's being taught in the school now is not just normal education. Now it's gone on to religion. And they're stressing on this Darwinism and atheism to such an extent that it's stealing away the iman of our children. When we went to school, then we learned A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's what we learn. Now they're teaching the alphabet a little bit different. When you go to school, they tell you, they teach you L, G, B, T, I, Q, E. So they teach the whole alphabets are different. That's what's being taught in, to the children now in school. When we went to school, we learned 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. Now, with the CSE, Comprehensive Sexuality Education, 1 plus 1 is not equal to 2 anymore. 1 plus 1 is now equal to 3. That is why, on, if you look, there was an article I read in the News 24, 6th of November 2021. 6th of November 2021, they had an article to say that for that year, 2021, there are 34,000 pregnancies in schools all around the country. 34,000, from which 600 pregnancies were girls the ages of 9 and 10 years. Where did this indecency come from? Where did all this kind of behavior come from? It's coming from the schools and what's being taught in the schools. When they started introducing subjects like this, and now children are exposed to what they weren't exposed to before, then this is the result of this indecency is now creeping into the schools. So this is what's happening in our schools, and stealing away the iman of our children. One brother in Springo Beach, on Sunday night, he came and knocked on my door after Isha. Now, after Isha on a Sunday night, you don't expect generally to get a visitor, but he came and his concern, his fikr was, he's saying that I got one fikr, one concern. My one son, he was in school, he was learning, and after he qualified, they sent him to go and study in overseas in one university. You see, the ulama told me, Hazrat Mufti Sahab told me, don't send your son. Don't send him overseas, especially in a university environment. What's going to happen to him? He says, but the school was pushing that he's very brilliant. Send him, he'll learn, he'll progress. So he says, I sent him, and he qualified, and he came back. He says, today is Sunday. He came back yesterday. Sunday morning, we woke up, we had breakfast, and the azan went for Zohar Salah. Many places, on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday, they have the Zohar Salah, but early. So he says, I told him, let's go for Zohar Salah. So he told me, Daddy, you carry on. I don't even believe in Allah anymore. I don't even believe, at the cost of the iman of our children. This is what's happening in the schools, in the universities. Now, after the ulama explained to them, and they felt that, no, we don't have to listen to the ulama, we don't have to listen to what our elders are telling us, then this is the end result that we see after this. Children are going, the iman is being stolen, the iman is being taken away. Our Hazrat Mufti Sahab always says, he says, although I'm involved in the Darul Uloom, and I'm teaching in the Darul Uloom for many years, but I feel that this maktab work is far more important than the Darul Uloom work. This maktab work is far more important than the Darul Uloom work, says, because this is what's going to save the iman of the ummah. This is what's going to save the iman of the ummah. We will establish this maktab wherever we go. So the children who are going, the right thing for us to do is don't even send our children to school. One alim qualified in Darul Uloom Azadville, he's now in Phoenix. So he was telling us that when he qualified, Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahab told him, he said, don't send your children to school, homeschool them. So he says, I took the himmat, and every day, 2 or 3 hours in the day, I homeschool my children. I never send them to school at all. So he said, this is the right thing to do, is don't send our children to school. But if the children are going to school, those who are going, the antidote for them is they must come to maktab in the afternoon. So whatever is being taught to them in the school during the day, whatever filth is being pushed into them during the day, this will be washed away in the afternoon, inshallah, to the barakat of the maktab. So our young ulama-i kiram, those who are going back home, inshallah, to our different countries, we should try and make this niyat and intention, inshallah, that wherever we go, we'll try and establish maktabs, as many as we can, for children also, for adults also. There are many adults also who don't know how to recite the Quran e Kareem, don't know how to perform salah. And this basic work we always try and do, inshallah, this will become the means of our najat and our success. Through the maktab, sitting and teaching in a maktab classroom, we may think that we're teaching only 15 or 20 children in the class. But Allah, it's not just 15 or 20 children. We can get right into the entire ummah. We can get into the homes of these children. Just to give 2 or 3 karguzaris, in one maktab in Durban, there's one child who's attending a very, very fancy school, Clifton College. The fees in the school is about 120,000 rand a year, and the child is attending the school, is in grade 4. So what's being taught to him day in the school, every day he comes to madrasa, he sits by his ustad teaches him deen, he gets very, very affected what his ustad teaches him in the madrasa. So one day his father took him for a haircut. Father took the young boy, he's in grade 4, father took him for a haircut, and he's sitting on the barber's chair, father is telling him that, give my son a two-lane haircut. Give my son a two-lane. Grade 4 child is going to such a fancy school. He's got the whole environment around him. His father is pushing him for a two-lane haircut. He pulls his head away and he says, I don't want a two-lane haircut. Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never had a two-lane haircut. I don't want to keep a two-lane haircut. So his father is telling me, you saw it, you just want to have a, just a number one or number two. You look ugly. He says, never mind if I look ugly. I look like Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is the effect you can have on the child. Imagine the father was stressed that he had to have a normal haircut, he had to have a proper haircut, because the child was... Now this you will never get online. Online you will never get this kind of an effect. This you will only get in the sohbat of your ustad. What your ustad will push into you, this is what you will get through the sohbat of your ustad. In another madrasa, at the beginning of the year, mother came with the child into the maktab, holding the child's hand and complaining to the apa. Mother is an anesthetist. Father is also a doctor. Both are professionals. Both of them many a times working late. So there's nobody to really give any attention to the children. Mother brings the child back to the madrasa and is complaining to the apa, I don't know what you all did to my child in the madrasa. So apa too got a bit worried, asking what happened to the child. He says, what happened to the child is that during the holidays, we had booked somewhere in Amslanga by the cabanas. And this child here put an app on the phone for namaz times. And every namaz, he's calling out the azan loudly in the hotel. And he's waking everybody up for salah. Everyone must read salah. So the family all must read salah. You see, on Zohar time, we're in the water, we're in the beach. But he's calling out the azan on the sand. And he's taking his father out of the water and read salah. You see, we never did this before. But now the child is pushing us to read our salah. So Abba too is shocked. She also doesn't know what happened. But when the mother left, he asked the child, what happened here? How you came to this conclusion? So he pointed to one kitab on the shelf, Fazail-e Amal. He said, Apa, you know this kitab you read to us every day. This is what had the effect on me. And I thought that now in the holidays, what I'm going to do, I'd rather get my whole family to read salah. So as a ustad, as a teacher in a madrasa, you're not only teaching the children here. You can get right into the homes of the children. The month of Ramadan is now on our doorstep. In one maktab in the Phoenix area, there was a child. The Apa gave them targhib. Everybody must keep roza in Ramadan. Fasting is a pillar of Islam, so we all must keep our fast during the month of Ramadan. So this child started keeping roza. The afternoon, the child is head on the desk, fast asleep. So the teacher woke her up one, two times, asked her, why are you sleeping? She said, no, I'm sleeping, but I'm fasting. I'm sleeping, but I'm fasting, but I'm sleeping because I'm tired. Steady time, I don't have nothing to eat. She said, why you don't have steady? Your parents don't, in my house, nobody keeps roza. I'm the only child, only person who's keeping roza in the home. So the Maulana and his wife, they went for a house visit. They spoke to the parents. The whole house, nobody has kept roza before. Now through the barakat of this child, the father, mother, everybody is keeping roza now because of the barakat of this child. So this is the effect of the maktab. How we can reach right into the ummah. We try and work in a classroom, but we can get right into the ummah of the child. One other Karguzari, one Hapa mentioned, that she had visited the hospital. And while she was there in the hospital, one patient that was there in the hospital came up to her and said, aren't you an apa teaching in one of the maktabs in the madrasa? I think you taught my child. So she said, probably we're teaching for many years. Probably I did teach one child in a madrasa. She says, no, I'm sure you taught my child because when I attended one of the parents' meetings, then I met you there in a madrasa. She said, okay, probably, maybe. She said, I'm a revert Muslim. I was a Hindu, I married a Muslim boy and accepted Islam. But I knew nothing about Islam. See, once I tried attending some classes, ladies' classes, but because I've got all these tattoos on my hands and my neck and that, I felt uncomfortable attending the classes. And those who were teaching also felt uncomfortable with me being there. But she says that, I know, alhamdulillah, I know how to read namaz, I know at-tahiyat, I know du'a kunut, I know how to even read the Quran. And who I learnt it from my child. Every day when she comes home from maktab, I ask her what she learnt, and then she teaches me whatever she learnt in a madrasa. And I learned Islam through the barakat of my child. And see, now my child is becoming a hafiza in Madrasa Salihat, as Mawis Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's Madrasa. And every day when she comes home as a family, we all sit together and we have QRT. As what is QRT? Quran reading time. As a family, we all sit together and we read Quran. As a family, we're all reading Quran. So this is the effect of the maktab, that how we can work in the ummah and how much effect it can have. As a parent, we must make this niyat and intention that inshallah, no matter what condition is, we must send our children to maktab in the afternoon. We must send, even if they are attending Muslim school, they must still come to the madrasa in the afternoon. They must still attend the maktab. Because the barakat of this maktab is different on the heart and the mind of the child. What they will learn in the maktab will remain with them for the rest of their lives. It is imprinted in their hearts and in their minds. And it will stay with them for the rest of their lives. Normally we are very concerned about our children's schooling education. We are very concerned about the secular education. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to say at the end of the metric year, we are worried to see how many A's our child have achieved. That mashallah, my child got 6 A's, my child got 7 A's. So we are very proud of our children that they got 6 A's or 7 A's. But you see, we must ask ourselves that the child got 6 A's or he got 7 A's. But what about the A for Allah? What about the A for akhlaq? What about the A for aqidah? Has he got these A's in his life? If he's got all the 6 A's, but this is absent in his life, then he hasn't got anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah, that we try as much as we can. As Shaykh al-Hind, Mawlana Mahmud al-Hassan Sahib Nawar Allahu Marqadahu, was the first student of Darul Uloom Deoband when he was incarcerated in the islands of Malta. And when he came back, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes this incident. He says there was a sitting in Darul Uloom Deoband where all the ulama-i kiram were present. And as Shaykh al-Hind Rahmatullah Ali said to them, that when I was in the darkness of the cells of Malta, I sat and I thought and I pondered, that what is the reason for the downfall of the ummah? What is the reason for the downfall of the ummah? And he says, after much thinking and pondering, I came to this conclusion. That is because of two reasons. One is because we have forsaken the Qur'an-i Kareem. We have forsaken the Qur'an-i Kareem. And the other thing is because of our fighting and arguing amongst ourselves. Because of these two reasons, the ummah is now dropping and the ummah is falling down. It is from now on I have made this intention that no matter what, I will try and promote the Qur'an-i Kareem. In the form of little maktabs, where children can go to the maktabs and they will learn the deen of Allah Ta'ala. They will learn how to recite the Qur'an-i Kareem in the madrasas in Durban. In Durban we had our Chota Mota Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali from Amzindo. Chota Mota was an alim, Chota Mota was an hafiz. But he made fikr for maktab. And wherever he went, he established a maktab. Sometimes in the ilaka he went, there was no maktab. He went to the school principal, spoke to him and said, you know what, there's no madrasa here. After hours we want to use your premises. When we established a small little madrasa. And in the school he started off a maktab. Sometimes it happened that he went to somebody's house and he said, in the lounge, can we start off a maktab here? And he started off a maktab. Remember, he wasn't an alim, he wasn't a hafiz. But he had fikr for deen in his heart. Today, wherever those maktabs were he established in the schools or in people's houses, today there's a masjid there as well. There's a masjid there as well. 5 times namaz taking place there. There's etikaf in the month of Ramadan. There's a robust maktab there taking place. There's so much of work of deen taking place. One man who has fikr for deen in his heart, Allah Ta'ala accepted him in this way. So this is just one message, inshallah. If we can just take it home, we're all going back, inshallah, to our countries, to our homes after the graduation today. Let me just make this one fikr, inshallah, how we can establish as many maktabs as we can so that the deen will stay alive in the ummah. And the ummah will progress. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.